Send it in.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Puckett Send It In post-game show. As myself, Jay Gibson, and my good friend and co-host, Alex Krutchik, we're exhausted, but we saw an amazing start to the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Florida Panthers as they defeat the Tampa Bay Lightning in game one of the first round of the playoffs by a score of 3-2. It was, Alex, in my opinion, I think it was everything that you and I kind of thought it was going to be leading up to the game. It was defensive-oriented, physical, and the winner was determined by their ability to capitalize off of who made the last mistake of the game. And in this case, it was Florida coming out of here with a win.
Yeah, it was a great game. I think that first period, and we'll talk about it in a bit in more detail, but I think that first period was the best hockey the Panthers have played all year. Every single player on the score sheet, as Matthew Tkachuk pointed out post-game, got a hit. One guy, as he said, got 10. And I'm actually mad at myself. I haven't actually looked up to see which guy he was talking about. But what was even funnier than that was then Paul Maurice comes in after, and he's talking about how it really wasn't the most physical game he's ever seen. And he's right, which is the crazy thing. Like,
it's insane.
This game was one of the more physical that the Panthers have, played this year. But by Battle of Florida standards, it could have been so much worse. Yeah, I thought that it was tremendous, especially for game one. I'm really happy with how they played, and I'm sure the Panthers are as well.
Sorry, Jake.
The guy that got 10 hits was Lightning defenseman Matt Dumba.
Yeah. I was just about to point that out. 10 hits for him. It's weird, though. Maybe you disagree, but am I the only one that feels that kind of shocked at the fact – get it, shocked – that the Tampa Bay Lightning out-hit the Florida Panthers? It felt like from the very start of the game, the Panthers made it clear that they were going to be the bullies against Tampa Bay with these absolute, I'm going to be honest, some late hits on these Tampa players that were not called by the refs, thankfully. But it felt like they were doing that almost the entire game. And when I look back and see that Tampa Bay had 55 hits, I kind of scratched my head going, wow, I remember seeing half of those hits that they managed to do.
Yeah, I guess not too surprising. I mean, the Panthers are bullies, but the Lightning are also bullies. That's what makes this rivalry so insane. It's not right. One team beating up on another. It's two teams just beating the hell out of each other for 60 minutes. What did surprise me, you're right, there were some calls that weren't made, but it was kind of on both sides. I can't think of anything specifically that should have been called one way or the other. But the only way that I know that there were penalties left off the board was the fact that the Lightning only were penalized three times, the Panthers were penalized twice. For this rivalry, for there to be five combined penalties is pretty miraculous, especially in a playoff game. Paul Maurice did say he wants to emphasize staying out of the box. I think they did a great job of that today, and they did a great job of keeping them out of the box, especially on the power play, until that last power play with, I think it was like 10 seconds left. I think Steven Stamkos
officially 9.3 seconds to go. They gave up a just to make sure I'm getting this factually. Carter Verhaeghe was called for a cross-check against Kucherov, and Stamkos came in. I actually thought it was Cirelli who hit this. No, it was Stamkos who came in with a wrister with, like, I think officially 9.3 seconds to go in the game. Florida won the faceoff. They cleared it, and the game was over. So, yeah, you hit it, and that was going to be the next thing I wanted to talk about. It was Florida's ability to not commit the stupid penalties. And here's the thing. In that final game of the regular season against Toronto, they had committed, I want to say, six or seven penalties. Granted, most of them were roughing penalties, which, again, I thought, okay, we're going to see a lot of roughings in game one, but hopefully they don't commit the stupid holdings or the stupid cross-checkings or whatnot. And they did a great job at that. And what did it result in? It resulted in Tampa Bay hardly got any opportunities to get to Bobrovsky, who himself, of course, had an amazing game. We'll talk about that a little bit later, but Wow. I feel like it was one of the more clean games that Florida has played all season, considering the circumstances. They were on a clean streak leading up to that Toronto game when they took on, you know, teams like Buffalo and Ottawa at home during that homestand. They didn't commit many penalties then. And then we saw that today was essentially a repeat of those few games prior to, of course, that Toronto game.
Yeah, exactly. It was a nice, clean game. And it's one of those things where, you know, I mentioned on the last pod that the Panthers penalty kill is great. the Tampa Bay power play is great. So I have confidence in the penalty kill, even if the Panthers get sent to the box.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing's for sure is the best way to avoid giving up a power play goal is to just not go to the box. I thought that was pretty impressive. And Paul Maurice, I forget if it was yesterday or earlier in the week, he said, like, there's certain penalties where, like, they're just going to happen. And one of the ones that he mentioned was, you know, change of direction, stick gets in the wrong place, and you wind up tripping a guy. And that's what the first penalty was on Florida. It was Anton Lundell tripped a Lightning player about halfway through the second period. The Carter Verhaeghe one, I haven't seen the replay on that yet, but the Carter Verhaeghe one was a cross-check late in the game. I'm sure Paul Maurice wasn't too happy about that, especially given it was only a two-goal game at that point with about a minute left. But, yeah, the penalty that they committed in the second period, it was just one of those things where you're not going to be able to avoid. You're always going to get called for a penalty. The fact they were only called for two today, it was such a well-disciplined game while still being very physical. That's actually really – now that I'm talking myself through it, that's really what's most impressive. It's not the fact that they were able to be physical. It's not the fact that they were able to stay out of the box. It's the fact that they were able to do both at the same time.
And that is premium Paul Maurice-led hockey, where you're able to do both those things and find success through it all. Shout out, Kevin. Go Panthers, both FIU and Florida. We see you, Kevin. Of course, FIU baseball just swept the New Mexico State Aggies. I've got to plug in the pause of podcast somehow. But, no, going back to your point, I will say you had mentioned earlier about there not being a lot of missed calls. One call that I do want to recognize was, like, early in the game, like the first couple of minutes, where a hit on the I forget which Tampa Bay player it was, knocked their helmet off. However, the player stayed in the game, and I don't know if he actually touched the puck or not, but he went for the puck with his stick. That should be, if I'm not mistaken, Alex, a delay of game penalty or something along those lines, because without a helmet, you're not allowed to do that, but he essentially did. Granted, he immediately ran back to the bench after that, but I was a little shocked that the refs just kind of let him play on after that.
Yeah, there was a couple of procedural penalties that the refs missed. There was one where the Panthers on the ice, I think it was Sam Reinhardt and Brandon Montour, and I could be wrong, but I think those were the guys that were throwing their hands up at one point, looking at the refs like mid-play, because the Lightning had a very sloppy line change, like a full five-guy line change, and they had too many guys on the ice. I mean, they didn't have too many men participating in the play, but still, by the letter of the law, they committed a penalty, and it wasn't called. Also, at one point, a Lightning player just straight up pushed Luostarinen down. I think it was from behind. Mm-hmm. Didn't look kosher, but I guess that's one of those calls that doesn't get called in the playoffs. But yeah, definitely the procedural ones need to be called, because those are black and white.
The referee for this game, by the way, was Wes McCauley, who some will argue is one of the more controversial officials in the National Hockey League. Granted, he does great with the mic. He goes 2 minutes each for fighting. So that's always fun to see from Wes. But yeah, definitely. I think overall the officiating was decent. It didn't, I don't think it cost either team. We'll talk a bit about what I feel was the turning point of this game. It was, I was getting ready to criticize Florida for going 0-for-2 on the power play and not coming away with results, because that's something that they obviously needed to take advantage of if they wanted to be successful in this playoff run. Because granted, it started to remind me of what we saw last year in the playoffs, where Florida could not capitalize on power plays. However, the turning point of this game was the holding call on Nicholas Paul with 24 seconds to go in the second period, which obviously carried over to the third. And of course, it led to an absolutely stunning pass by Alexander Barkov, the captain right to Carter Verhaeghe, who was right in front of the net, just tipped it in. Definitely, I thought to myself, and I think I had tweeted this as well, who is going to make the biggest mistake in the third period? Who is going to make probably the one mistake all period that the other team is going to capitalize on? And all signs looked to that being Tampa, who'd make that mistake. And sure enough, the penalty from the second period led to ultimately the winning goal for Florida, as Verhaeghe capitalized, you know, only 58 seconds into the third.
Yeah, that was great to see from Verhaeghe. Verhaeghe also had a goal in his return to action in game 82 against Toronto last Tuesday. Yeah. So it's been nice to see him. It's nice to see that he's still got the playoff magic. The Lightning did a great job of neutralizing Sam Reinhart in the bumper. Yeah. I did notice, and Alex Baumgartner, Five Reasons, pointed this out to us last week, and it was apparent today too, especially in that first power play. Matthew Tkachuk is usually in the crease setting screens for the goalie. Today he was just kind of all over. He was just kind of roving around everywhere, and Sam Reinhart was kind of moving around more often than usual. He was in the bumper. He was in front of the net. Just kind of his slot area expanded today.
Yeah.
But then Verhaeghe, of course, that looked like a set play, by the way. What happened was Verhaeghe had the puck himself at the blue line, passed it away to Barkov on the boards, and then kind of wheeled around to get to the front of the net. And then Barkov got the puck to Verhaeghe, and he was able to tap it in right there at the crease. I thought it was great. That's what's so nice about those power plays that get called like 30 seconds before intermission. You get 18 minutes to talk about what you're going to do next.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and play a 30-second clip from Sam Reinhart in the locker room post game. Just one that I was able to record. So let's check this out real quick.
Let's start a game and kind of get the same juices going?
No. Game one, round one, I think, no matter what time it is. Guys, you're going to be ready to go.
We heard the room from out there really loud in here. What do you mean you're just going to get that feeling back in this room? And I know you're starting a new run here.
You got to enjoy these wins when you can. Then refocus and focus on the next one. That's what it's all about this time of year. You got to enjoy it.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
Cool, calm, and collected Sam Reinhart always is, but he did point out that getting these wins against a team as obviously playoff-oriented as Tampa Bay is matters so much, especially the game one of the playoffs. The Panthers have now officially set the tone for the rest of this playoff series, not to mention all the other teams in the Eastern Conference have to now keep a notice how Florida is going to be handling themselves in the postseason, which is going to be physical and hopefully just as clean as they were today. So in that end, yeah, like you said, even with Reinhart somewhat silenced, of course he did still score a goal, so he did contribute the way he wanted to. He was silenced for the majority of the game, but of course the other players that we know and love, Carter Verhaeghe, they call him Mr. Postseason for a reason. Alexander Barkov, who lit it up with the assists, and of course Tkachuk with the empty netter to seal the game. And of course, you got your defenseman and Bobrovsky, who had a phenomenal game. This style of hockey looks very similar to what we saw last year, that they sort of just brought out of the blue, similar to what they're doing now. Physical and, for the most part, clean.
Yeah. And that's what they were looking to do. I loved that first period by them. The first 12 minutes of the game, they didn't let off a shot on goal to Tampa. Then Tampa wound up getting four shots in 9 seconds, and one of those shots went past Bob. That sometimes happens to goalies when you go so long into a game without facing a shot, you don't really get tested, and it's possible. Not rust necessarily, but just not as sharp. You know, the last time you saw a puck, the last time you had to stop a puck was like 30 real-world minutes ago, right? But other than that, the defense was spectacular. They barely even let Tampa into the zone. I mean, 3 minutes into the game, Gustav Forsling shanks a one-timer at the blue line. Tampa goes down. It looks like they're about to go on a rush. But then Barkov gets his body in the way, takes away space, and takes the puck away in the neutral zone. Tampa couldn't even get into their offensive zone. A few minutes later, Vladimir Tarasenko, who I've loved his physicality since he got to Florida, he took space away from Nicholas Paul, just as he entered the offensive zone for Tampa. So Paul like barely got into the offensive zone. He was there for maybe a second. He got two steps into the zone, and now the puck's going the other way. Yeah. I love the forecheck. I love the neutral zone play. Like, it wasn't even blue line defense. It was defense before they even got to the defensive zone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said it yourself. And to sort of capitalize off of that, a key player for Tampa Bay that we thought would have an impact would be Cirelli. And granted, Cirelli got that assist on the first goal. But aside from that, he only managed one real shot on goal on Bobrovsky this entire game. Stamkos, I think, overall performed better than Cirelli today. He also got an assist and still got three shots on goal. The leader in shots for Tampa Bay ended up being Braden Point, who I don't think any of us really expected to have to leave the team regarding that role. But that's what sort of happened as Florida limited, I'd say, arguably the two best overall offensive players that Tampa Bay has in Cirelli and Stamkos. Looking at Florida's statistics, Sam Reinhart, 5 shots. No surprise there. Matthew Tkachuk with 4 as well. That duo, again, we wanted to see great things from that dynamic duo of Reinhart and Tkachuk, and in just one game so far, they have not disappointed.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. Offensively, like I had no problem with anyone offensively, especially that line that you just mentioned, Tkachuk, Bennett, Reinhart. Tkachuk, Bennett, Verhaeghe. I thought that was a fantastic line today. I have a fun fact for you, Jake. Would you believe me if I told you this is the first time since 1997 that the Panthers have won the first game of a first-round series?
I would not have believed you immediately, but that is that's insane to think about. Wow.
It's one of those things where when you win the first game, you tell yourself it's really important and it really means a lot. But then just last year, the Panthers lost the first game against Boston, and look what happened. It's funny because if the Panthers wound up losing today, everyone would have been talking about, oh, it doesn't really matter. It's just game one. Because they won today, I mean, they've got control of the series now. Mm-hmm. Series doesn't really start, though, until the road team loses. Until the home team loses.
Oh, yeah. So, they put themselves in a great situation where if they can, again, take game two on Tuesday, then, Florida, who is an exceptionally good road team, has won their two home games and are now more than likely going to nab at least one in Tampa. So, you're setting yourself up for a game 5, which Florida can just absolutely wrap this all up and move on to the next series. So, an amazing start for Florida overall. By the way, another thing I saw from Florida today that I absolutely loved, which I didn't see a whole lot in some moments of the regular season, was their takeaways. They absolutely picked the pockets of Tampa Bay beautifully. So maybe some of the best work they've done in that department all season. 16 total takeaways from Florida today, which is absolutely outstanding. Tampa only had 2 by comparison. Granted, I didn't like how Florida gave away the puck every now and then due to some missed shots or some bad passes. Funny enough, also 16 giveaways for the Panthers. But still, their ability to steal the puck and pretty much for the majority of the third period, that's what they did. They just yoinked the puck away from Tampa. It didn't allow them to get anything going for the majority of the third period, which they are obviously scrambling to try to get a goal to tie the game up. I think that was an underrated aspect of this game for Florida.
Yeah, the takeaways lead to – And I kind of touched on this before. The takeaways lead to giving Bob an easy night. Like, it's not just about setting stuff up for your offense. It's also the fact that Bob didn't really have to get tested a whole lot. Like I said, They went 12 minutes without getting a shot on goal. And then in 9 seconds, they had a flurry of 4 shots.
Yeah.
And you thought, okay, now the Lightning are on. Now they're awake. They're here. They're ready to play. And you've seen it before, too, where Florida will hold teams this year to a really low shot total in the first period, and then the team, their opponent will just come out firing in the second and third period. That didn't really happen today.
No.
Tampa had 4 shots on net in the second period. In that second period, 4 shots on net. only three high danger scoring chances. Bob only had a 10 high danger scoring chances today. I guess the main point that I'm trying to say is that I'm impressed by the fact that the Panthers continued to clamp down on Tampa for the entire 60 minutes. Like, the only time it really looked like Tampa was ever in control, and this includes when they scored that power play goal late, and it includes when Brandon when they scored the power play, like, the only time that it looked like the Lightning might be in control was that 9 seconds in the first period where they fired four shots on net.
Yeah.
And Brandon Hagel got it in. They allowed 9 shots on goal in that first period, and it just never got better.
Yeah. So let's take a look. So let's talk a bit about the man at the net. And I do have another clip to play here, a significantly longer clip. It's only less than 2 minutes, but it's from Sergei Bobrovsky after the game talking about his night. So let's take a listen.
How important was it to get that first one?
Yeah, definitely. You know, every game is a big game. Championship is a big ship. So it's great to start.
Is it difficult to stay locked into a game like that where you don't really see a lot of shots and there's and lulls in the game?
Well, it is what it is. You know, you try to stay focused and read the game and be in the game. It was a tight game. You know, not much room there for both teams. So it was good competition.
How much fun is it as a goalie to see your team do what they were doing that first 15 minutes in the first, the forechecking, just modeling Tampa up and deal in their own zone?
Yeah, it was a great start, definitely. I thought the defense set us up to help us, you know, with the energy. It was fun going to play, and it's against a good year.
You guys haven't frustrated Tampa Bay many a time, but maybe in recent years, but it's certainly good today. They look frustrated. Did you notice that?
I honestly didn't think about that. So it's again, it's only one game. They are a good team, so we enjoy it today, and I get ready for the next one.
Bob, you talked about energy. What can you say about the energy in the building tonight for game one?
Yeah, it was outstanding. So it was great, you know, playoff game.
What did you see on that save? That
we'll wrap it up there. But even in post game, he looks locked in. You know, he looks locked in. But something he talked about at the end was the energy in the stadium, and I can't agree more. First of all, that place was absolutely jam packed. Number one, which you kind of expect, it's a postseason game. It's still the fans showed out. Number two, usually when Florida plays Tampa here, the Lightning fans travel well, and they pack that joint. That was not the case today. There was, I'd say there was 95% Panther fans and a small 5% of Bolts fans that made the trip over and could get tickets to see this game today. So shout out to the Florida Panthers fans that were in attendance, because they absolutely they brought the energy. I can't remember the last time I've heard the stadium that loud consistently for an entire game. Not even during the Eastern Conference Final was the energy that consistent through all 60 minutes of play. So the fans brought in the work in this game.
Yeah, that's what jumped out to me first, was that it didn't feel like an in-state rivalry, in the sense that, like, even the most successful teams, if you've got a really good in-state rivalry where both teams are really good, obviously they're both in the playoffs, you have a good contingent of visiting teams. And it's not even a knock on the home team, but that's just how it is. I barely saw any blue jerseys in that crowd.
No.
And when the Lightning did score, it really wasn't loud at all. And no. I was also listening to the national telecast. They didn't have any reason to cut any mics whenever Tampa scored. There was no noise when Tampa scored. You could feel the energy jump out of the TV when Florida scored their first goal and their second goal and their third. But the first goal was the one where I really was like, oh, wow. Like, it's not taking any time for fans to really ramp up. I still remember, like, 2016 when Florida was the best team in the Atlantic. That was the first year of the Catlantic. And it was Florida versus the Islanders. And it was only like 90% full. And like maybe 20% of those people were Islanders fans. So they've come a very long way. That was a legitimate home ice advantage.
Really felt like it too. By the way, the cinematic shots of the stadium being dark and all those red light up sticks going off. Also, the handlebars, at the staircases also had little Velcro lights attached to them, so they lit up as well. That's the coolest I've ever seen the stadium look, when both the lights from the sticks were going off as well as the little Velcro lights on the guard railings. That's the same. So overall, just I got to say, this game was, I think, was both what we expected. Alex Baumgartner as well, who joined us last week. It's the kind of game we expected. Not a whole lot of goals. It's not a 5-2, 5-3 kind of game that may have happened if Florida was taking on a team like Toronto. It was instead just a battle of defenses and a battle of these two teams capitalizing on the rare mistakes the other team made, which is obviously what Florida and Coach Maurice is known for, and it's what Tampa has prided themselves on for as long as they've been a playoff slash championship caliber team. So all I can say about this game is that the Panthers have already put themselves in a great position to come out of this series scotch-free if they can continue the success in game two, because they're setting themselves up for what could be, and I kind of predicted this, a gentleman's sweep if everything goes their way. And it starts with keeping that energy in game two.
Yeah, definitely. I did my math wrong last week when I was talking about like what I was trying to say. What I was trying to say was, I think this is one of those series where every game is dictated, is settled by one goal. Mm-hmm. I can see this series going something like the Carolina series last year. Not that it's going to be a sweep, but in the sense that, like, even if Florida does win 4-1, or even if Tampa wins 4-1, it's going to be whoever is one shot better, whoever is one play better, whoever is one mistake better is going to win. It's going to be one of those, unless it goes 7 or 6, if it only goes 4 or 5, which I don't anticipate it to, it's going to be one of those series where it how competitive it was and how close it was won't reflect in the final score. And it's kind of how that was when the Panthers lost against them the last time out 2 years ago. Remember? The offense didn't look great, but the defense and goaltending were fine. And Vasilevskiy was playing; he was standing on his head that series. And the Lightning, I don't think, ever really blew out Florida in that series. If they did, it was only one game. I'm forgetting what the exact scores were off the top of my head right now.
Yeah.
But even that series, it was super close despite the sweep. So I can see it going something like that this week.
Alrighty then, so this just sets up the stakes for game two, which is on Tuesday at, what time is it on Tuesday, Alex?
7:30.
So say goodbye to the 12:30 puck drop, which, you know what? I kind of ended up appreciating, Alex. 12:30 on a Sunday, ultra light traffic getting to the stadium, the arena, and leaving. It's one of those rare opportunities where I actually don't have to put on my headlights, and there's actually real deal sunlight as I'm leaving the stadium on the Sawgrass Expressway and heading south on the turnpike, which is really, really cool. It kind of felt like going to a Dolphins game, you know, a 1 o'clock Dolphins game, and leaving it around 4 to 5. I know that I don't think that really has a whole lot of context, with the exception of Matthew Tkachuk saying that he's not used to waking up super early for these playoff games, as you know, they're usually on the afternoon instead of the 12:30 start. So, all right, before we wrap up here, let's quickly take a look at some of the other playoff games that have gone on. Yesterday, there were a couple of games that we all saw. Boston absolutely dismantled Toronto by a score of 5-1. I don't think any of us are really surprised to see. Well, actually, maybe a little. I'm kind of shocked Boston had their way throughout the entirety of that game, but to see this final score end up 5-1 is pretty shocking. Carolina beat the New York Islanders 3-1. Again, I don't think the winners of those two games were really surprised with, especially considering they're the home teams. So, again, obviously Florida beats Tampa 3-2. The New York Rangers also took care of business against the Washington Capitals 4-1. Again, I'm not too surprised, but they are the President's Trophy winners, so I thought, okay, maybe they'd be cursed and Washington would just wrap this series up against them. If you have a TV around you, go to ESPN2 right now, because the Colorado Avalanche and the Winnipeg Jets are in the middle of a dogfight. It's the end of the first. It's intermission, and the score is 3-3 after only one period of playing. That looks like it's going to be an insane, insane 40 minutes coming up for that game. And tonight at 10 o'clock, the Predators will take on Vancouver. So any scores around the league that really just sort of blow your mind, Alex? I don't really think so. I think all these wins make a lot of sense. The home teams so far have looked really good.
Yeah, I think just seeing a playoff game tied at 3-3 after the first period is what really stands out to me.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's going to be fun. I'm going to turn that on after this.
Yeah.
That's what the Panthers thought they were 2 years ago under Andrew Brunette.
Maybe that's what we would have gotten if they had been taking on Toronto instead of Tampa Bay right now. Who knows? Tough to say. But already, Alex, a great start to the playoffs for the Florida Panthers. I know you'll be in attendance covering the game on Tuesday. So the vibes are good, Alex. Let's hope they stay that way for the next 15 wins that Florida's going to need to hoist the Stanley Cup.
Exactly. Remember, they won game one, which means that game one is extremely important.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, they're only 15 wins away. 15 more wins to hoisting their – we're getting ahead of ourselves, but all right.
I'm not counting down. I don't want to know the number.
I'm not counting down either, but they do that thing where they get the puck and they have this list of like 16.
Oh, yeah, they do.
They put the puck there for each win, one puck, and then just keep stacking, you know, and hopefully they get to fill it out this year.
And remember last year they kept – so they choose a different player to put the puck on the board.
Yeah.
Bob never got to do it last year. And the theory was – Bob. The theory was that they – and this is just the theory – they wanted Bob to be the one to put, like, the last one on, like the puck. Hopefully they get the chance this year. But yeah, no, there's an old baseball adage that says never count your outs at Wrigley Field because of the wind and because of the curses and the bad juju there. Never count your wins in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Mm. Well said, Alex. My goodness, getting me fired up for game two, which again is this Tuesday. So tune in and let's see some more amazing Panthers hockey. And again, we'll be back after the that game concludes as well to go over what we see and what we think. So my recap on the article will be posted soon. So if you want to read that as you're still living with the hype, that is a game one win for the Florida Panthers. And yeah, until next time, for Alex and myself, have a great rest of the night, get some sleep, and let's go home, baby.